Sandra, and Noah.
Hey, howdy, hey, what's up? And welcome back to the Theater World Podcast. My name's Noah Bender.
And I'm Sandra Nemchek.
And our guest this week is an accomplished actor who has performed on Broadway and around the world in the original productions of Saturday Night Fever, Footloose, and many more. He's a Bay Area legend. Please welcome the Jim Ambler.
Hello. Woo. Hi.
Jim, so nice to talk to you.
How's it going? Yeah, it's good to see you guys.
And you've done so many things since we've seen you.
Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, during the pandemic, I was supposed to do a show right before the pandemic, and then the halfway through the pandemic, we were going to do the show again, and that was canceled again because of the Omicron. So, but since then, we've had some good productions.
We should have had you in our Zoom productions during the pandemic. We did 37 Zoom musicals.
Yeah, I think that was fun.
I think I asked you a few times, and you were like,
"Oh, no, I had a lot going on."
But yeah, how were you able to adapt during the great hiatus of theater?
Well, I'm here with my mom. I'm taking care of my mom. So basically on March 13th, they said, we got to close the show. We were going to do Schoolhouse Rock, which would have been so much fun.
Yeah.
And I was going to do Conjunction Junction in a blue outfit.
What's your function?
Right, exactly. I was so excited to do that show. But then when it closed down, my mom and I just decided to close the door and not let anybody in, which was great because neither one of us contracted the virus. So it was good. But it was a lot of fun. I had video conferencing with every show except for Cats. So Saturday Night Fever, we did a reunion before, but Footloose, we did a reunion before. So producers and West Side Story, and then my college, Boston Conservatory, we did a Zoom meeting, which was a lot of fun to see all those people again.
Yeah.
Yeah, Susan Stroman was even there, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yes, we
have. She do a little choreo too for you. She's like, let me back up and zoom my Zoom screen and do something.
No, it was wonderful because, you know, it brought us all together. And it was Vegas, the Vegas company, and also the tour. So there was a collaboration of all of us. And so she was there, and one of our producers was there, our musical director. It was just like seeing old friends, you know, like a lot of people did that, right? A lot of people did Zoom meetings of people that they haven't seen for a long time. So it was really cool.
And then they're like, see you in another pandemic.
Exactly. Let's hope not. No.
No.
But yeah, we did all these Zoom musicals, but the first few ones were just reunions of shows that we did like 5 years ago.
I love that.
Yeah, we were like, let's just do this and let's just do that and just kept rolling.
Yeah, let's do Anything Goes again. Let's do The Wedding Singer again.
How cool. That must have been so much fun.
So that kind of brings me back to, so my main experience with you was when we worked on Footloose at Hill Barn in 2017, I think.
Yeah.
And so that was something of a reunion for you. And because you obviously are part of the fabric of Footloose, the musical. You were part of the original Broadway cast back in the 90s. And can you talk about what it's been like to, because I feel like you've been like a mentor on several different productions of Footloose throughout the years. What is it like for you coming back to the show in a different role like that?
It's a lot of fun. The first time I did it at Burrell Middle School, which was a lot of fun because it was younger kids. And it was surreal because I was visualizing being on stage while the music was playing and while I was choreographing the show. And I talked to the original choreographer to help me throughout some of the choreography that I did at Burrell. But then once I got to Hill Barn, it was surreal again, but it was more high school students. So it was kind of along the lines of perfect casting, you know, like I was 26 when I did the workshop and 27 when we opened on Broadway. So 27 playing 16-year-olds, so, or 19.
It was, you know, that's how it works.
Grease thing.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun. And then I've talked to a lot of other productions of Footloose about my experience of creating the show. And it was so much fun, but it did bring about a lot of memories. I was with the show on Broadway for almost 2 years. And so a lot of memories of doing somebody's eyes every night, or the girl gets around every night, and having my motorcycle, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you are busted.
Yeah.
One of the bad boys.
One of the bad boys. That's right. That's inside. It's all inside.
Oh yes, yes. You're very nice in person. Come on now.
Take out the hat. You know, better watch out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're wearing a derby cap and vest, total bad boy attire.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny because, when I was in college, we did a showcase for the Boston Conservatory. We were the first one to do it. And we had a lot of casting directors and a lot of agents and everything. And we would go on agent meetings to try and figure out, you know, who you're going to work with. But one of the agents asked me, well, they're auditioning for the workshop of Footloose, but it was just a workshop at the time. So it really didn't have any future. And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? And so in between school, I graduated from school on a Saturday. And then on Sunday night, I was driving to New York to have my final callback for Footloose.
Wow. Not bad.
Yeah,
crazy.
Snappy, snappy. Yeah. But it was fun. We're a little bit of a whirlwind, but it was only for the workshop, so they didn't really know. Like, my character wasn't really developed. It was just Chuck's friend. And so there were two of us. Bryant played Travis, and I played Lyle. And throughout the audition process, they were like, we like these guys, you know? Let's add them to the show. But then once we started the workshop, which was so much fun, we all showed up and signed contracts, and I was just fresh out of college, and Walter Bobby, who was the director, just won a Tony for Chicago. And I was sitting down, and I just was doing my papers, and I looked over, and the person next to me was Dee Hody. And I just went, oh my gosh, Dee Hody, which is, if anybody doesn't know, is like the glamorous actress of Broadway, is what she is known for. But it kind of shocked me and kind of threw me into a whirlwind. But throughout the workshop process, they liked us so much, and we kept adding different things. They just said, just improvise. So we did, and they kept writing into the script. So it was kind of fun.
Were there a lot of like improvisations that you said that they were like, we like that, and they just like wrote it down, and they were like,
yeah, busted is put one it of in. Them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, oh.
Busted.
That was Travis.
Noah's favorite line.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff that we did. Some of the through line they already had from the writers, but like one of the wrestling scenes they added, which is one of the things that I love about workshops and creating a show, is that you get a script the next day, and then you have to work it. And then sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And, but Bryant and I played Travis would just improvise and be like, yeah, man, or, oh, that's cool. Or woo, you know, and they'd write it into the script.
Yeah. It's interesting, the process of developing a new musical that's adapted from such a popular source, because I think Footloose was really one of the game changers in terms of movie to stage adaptations that really became popular and also integrated music, original music, and, you know, 80s music from that time.
Yeah. Well, Tommy, I think, might have been the first one. I could be completely wrong.
That's just a straight up jukebox.
Right.
Musical, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was all the Who's music. This was, I think it was one of the first to develop a movie that used the music from the movie and also added more to it. Like Hairspray is all original.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know,
like, I wouldn't call that a movie-cal.
No. But it's amazing.
It's not the same as like Doubtfire or Tootsie or like those kind of new ones.
Yeah.
Right. Because they didn't use any of the music from the movie.
Right.
Which was sad, because I wanted to hear, and I'm telling you, it might be you. Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, like, when you're doing Footloose or anything like that, you expect to hear the theme song, right?
Oh yeah. Can you imagine if you came to see Footloose and didn't hear Footloose, or Let's Hear
It? Or it was like a different rendering of it. It was like, Footloose.
Yeah, they'll do a bad Cinderella version of Footloose, where they just interpolate it.
Oh, yes, definitely. with Martha Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not Footloose. We're bad Footloose.
We're naughty Footloose.
Naughty Footloose.
Yeah, let's make that show even naughtier.
Well, to start off, it was really interesting because during the workshop, they were headed towards, like, we were working on it, towards working towards, like, the idea of Rent. More edgy, a lot more language.
It's like just before Rent, right?
It was after Rent. Rent was 96, and we, 97 is when we did the workshop. So we were we were like, oh, let's put the grit to Footloose and not make it so lighthearted.
That was when everybody on Broadway was like, Rent, but this.
Right.
Rent, but this.
Let's make it real sad, too. We'll have a sad ending.
Yeah.
Rent, but 80s.
Yeah.
Rent, but...
But then once we got into our pre-production, they decided, for Broadway, they decided to make it more kid-friendly and family-friendly. Mm-hmm. Which worked, because I'm not in, so.
Tell me about your time doing Cats, because you're one of my Cats allies here.
Yes, definitely. Well, let's, I'm not taking too much time, but when Cats was here in, right before both of you, in the late 80s, well, actually, San Mateo, when I was at San Mateo High, we went to go see Cats in 85, the tour.
Oh, wow.
And I was mesmerized. I just went, oh my gosh, you know, like that whole little kid in the balcony seeing the show and going, that's what I want to do. That's exactly what happened.
It was a lot of people's entryway into theater.
It really was. And it was one of those shows, like, if you did Cats, you did Les Mis, you did Phantom. Those, then after, then after you did all those, you did Miss Saigon. So it was, they were all cast by the same people.
Right.
And those were the mega musicals at the time, of course. So when they came to San Francisco to audition, I was 16. And I was like, yeah, I'm going.
And, so brazen.
Well, I was like, well, it's San Mateo High.
Yeah, that's true.
We both, they were, we were like, let's do it. Yeah. And I got past, the first thing you have to do is do a double pirouette on both sides, classical, and then they cut from there. And I got the first cut. And then we did the Jellicoe Ball, and then I got cut. So I wasn't able to sing. But then Andy Zerman, who is, God rest his soul, he was an amazing man. He was part of Johnson Lift, the casting. He was there 2 years later for Les Miserables, and I had my eligibility card at the time so I can get into the Equity audition. And he remembered me. And he said, if you ever come to New York, call me. And I was like, so anyways, speed through. 9 years later and 9 auditions later for Cats, I graduated from college, did the workshop of Footloose, came in for an audition for Cats, and then I got it.
That's amazing. It's crazy.
And the rest is history.
Yes. Well, it was a lot of fun because it was a great introduction. It was a well-oiled machine by that time. It was almost, we celebrated the 10th year of that tour when I was on the tour. And so I started out as Big Boy Swing, which means I covered Munkustrap, Tugger, Alonzo, and McCavity. And which is a variety of all different things.
Yeah, it's hard to be a cover in Cats because everybody has such a different track. Nobody's like in the same place, or nobody's just like doing the same thing but in a different place. Right. Everyone's doing a different thing in a different place.
They all take a nap at some time on stage, right?
Well,
and then you all take a
Play-Doh dance. McCavity was one of the, he was just called the Sleepy Cat at the time. So I would climb up the, because we had a bedpost on the side. So you climb up on the bedpost and lay up on the bedpost and take a nap. That was fun. Munkustrap wasn't so much. Tugger, you're not on stage a lot, but when you are, it's really a lot of fun.
You're the star.
Yeah, basically. So 6 months later, when I was doing the show, the whole creative team from New York was kind of came out to watch us, and the Munkustrap was leaving to go on tour with Chicago. So they saw me for just happened to be on for Munk. And then they, before I left to do start Footloose for Broadway, they said, do you want to take over the character? And I was like, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. It was
so- Munkustrap is probably the best male role in Cats because he gets to do the most.
Everything. And at the time,
he gets to sing, he gets to dance, he gets to fight.
Yep. It was so much fun. And at the time, there was Peace in the Polycles was in it, which is like a rap. Oh. A rap. And I don't think
And he sings that.
Yeah, I don't think he's, he's in it.
No, they retooled that song. I saw the current revival tour, And instead of having the Peaks and the Pollicles in the first act, where they're like regaling old Deuteronomy at the beginning of the Jellicle Ball, they do it right after Gus the Theater Cat. And they, where like he plays the great Rumpus Cat.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So they, and so it's in Act Two.
They cut
instead of Growl yeah, Tiger. Instead of Growl Tiger, which sucks anyway.
It was fun to do. It was a lot of fun to do, but yeah, it was, I think no one wanted, well, at the time, I don't think people wanted to hear the opera part.
But there's too many so cats on stage.
There was so much fun to do.
Because Cats is such a weird show where in many ways it is exactly how it is.
Yes.
There's really only one way to do it. You can throw in new choreography, but it looks the way it looks. It's done the way it's done. But every now and then they change little things. Like Cats is a show where you can move songs to the second act and it won't really affect anything. Mm-hmm. Like I saw the new current revival with my sister. And we were constantly pointing out, oh, that orchestration is slightly different. Or, oh, that line is actually in the first act, but they moved to the second act. Or that character is singing this thing, but they're singing this thing in the other word. It was all these tiny little minute differences that didn't really affect the show at all. But it's kind of like you can rearrange the puzzle pieces and still have it be
it's
the same
production.
It's a
book of poems for Cats.
It is. Yeah. But that's what's so cool about it. I didn't have the chance to see the revival. The tour just came through, but I was doing Santa Do It, so I didn't have a chance to see it.
That's right, you were rolling around.
I was rolling around, but I'd love to see it because I know it so well, and it's still in my head.
Yeah. A few months ago, we interviewed the actor who plays Demeter.
On the tour?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Is she having fun?
Yeah, she was great. She's now going to be in the tour of Aladdin.
Oh great. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Anyway, moving on.
I've got more.
I know
cat
this
stories
is not.
Cats,
no, I know. This is not a cat's. Another cat's podcast.
After we stop recording. After we stop recording.
All right.
Yeah, Xander doesn't want me to hijack this again.
I know.
And make it
I was like,
we already had an entire episode dedicated.
We
to
did.
Cats.
And I was like, this is your episode, Noah. This is your cat show. Like, go for it.
I haven't had my fill. I'll never have my fill.
I love
true.
It.
It's just
a little
cat
one
keeps running over.
Yeah. No, please, please.
One little story before we go on.
Sure.
So. First time I saw it was at the Golden Gate Theater. So when we were coming in to the San Francisco, we were going into the Golden Gate, and I was on for Tugger, and my whole family was there on the eighth row, friends and aunts and uncles and people that I knew. I mean, it's huge. And at the very beginning, where he's not really Tugger, he's just a regular cat, right in the front, my tail falls off.
Yikes.
Yeah, I had to grab it up, pin it back on, tie it up, and keep going. It was very funny.
Oh, wow. You know, things like that happen, though. And I, as an experienced actor, I'm sure you know this. Like, whenever something drops on stage, you got to pick it up, no matter what, even if it's not in the choreography or anything like that.
Yeah, I love those stories. My best theater mishap story was when I was in high school. I was in Once on This Island.
Oh, nice.
I played Papa Gay.
Did I
see
that?
You might have.
I think you have.
It was in fall 2014, I think.
I think I did. It was awesome.
And thank you. And we had a raked stage, and so it was slanted. And so in the climactic, most serious moment of the show, where I'm offering Timon the chance to trade her life for her love, I've got my big staff with a styrofoam skull on it, and I'm doing my serious monologue. You saved him. You loved him, and he betrayed you. And I smack the staff on the ground, and the skull goes rolling down the stage. It might have fell into the orchestra pit.
Oh, how funny.
And this is a moment where the entire ensemble, the rest of the cast, is behind me, and I can hear them all giggling and laughing and watching me and seeing. But I was so into it, I had to stay committed. You know, he betrayed you, like. Yeah. With this serious moment, but just with the skull rolling down the stage. Yeah.
Yeah. Theater, live theater.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you didn't break, because I know you break a lot, Noah.
I know. I'm that. Yeah, that is the thing I'm known for. But that was one moment where I'm really proud that I kept it together.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes.
With the rolling skull.
The rolling skull. And I strangled Rosie Issel after that.
Oh no.
No,
I'm kidding.
No, I'm just kidding. We love you, Rosie.
We love you, Rosie.
If you're listening.
Yeah, if she's listening.
Hmm.
I'll tell her to.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. We'll be like, we're calling you out.
Rosie Esso was the best prop manager because whenever I had to eat food on the stage, she would like give me a new meal every night. Like,
oh, I love different. That.
That's nice.
Yeah, she's incredible. What she does. And she takes care of it. She really has the heart for it. She really wants it to be the best that it is.
Yeah,
she did White Christmas with us.
Mm-hmm. Little sections, little spots. Yeah. Everything was like
that was the first time I saw you on stage, Jim, in White Christmas.
Oh yeah.
That was the first time he was back in the Bay Area.
Yeah. That's what brought me back. Thanks to Virginia Mizanti.
Oh, wow. Oh,
a friend of the show.
Yes.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. Yes. Have you seen the commercials for Bad Cinderella?
Yes, I have. And I've listened to some of the music, too.
Uh-huh.
And some of it's pretty... Yeah, well, okay. There was
go for it. I want to hear what you have to say.
We love Andrew Lloyd Webber here, but we don't have to be nice about this one.
Webber.
It looks interesting. There's one song that was pretty. And I forgot what it was, but it's something about I'm not your love, or I forgot the name of the song, but it sounded pretty.
I'm your bad love.
That's what it is.
Oh my gosh, so, everything was so bad.
But hey,
I think Andrew Lloyd Webber had a great sense of what pop music was like in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, that's when he was young.
But not so much now.
Let's see. Let's hope he comes, like, still opens up to different things. Mm-hmm. You know, like, when I had a final callback for Woman in White, which was a very cool audition, because there was only three of us for the cover of one of the leads. But the music, some of the music was really pretty. And the song that I had to sing, Evermore Without You, was beautiful and had a beautiful line. But it was more musical theater than pop.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. So I don't know if he's gearing it towards that. Like, he did a show about an office, something that happened in an office.
Yeah, look at the musical.
No, it was about a trial about a man, but it was set in the 60s. And for some reason, in my mind, it was set in an office.
I don't know that one.
Look it up. It's
I feel like he just needs to do more haunting musicals again. I mean, like Phantom of the Opera and
Love Never
Sunset,
Dies.
Love Never Dies. Love Sunset Never Boulevard. Dies. Like, he just needs
Phantom
to find...
Three.
There you go.
Yes, there we go.
Revenge of Raoul.
How about Jack Phantom the Ripper the musical? You know, something like really spooky and scary. Like, give me some of that. I feel like that's what we need instead of this like pop. I mean, he did some good pop songs back in the day.
Bad Cinderella is going to flop. It's going to flop. Yeah. I mean, I listened to it, and also like, I don't know how much this will hurt it, but like, if the music is so British, if that makes sense, the lyrics and the music, it's so Britishy in ways that I don't think will translate.
But she's a goth girl. She's a punk. She's like spray stuff.
No, I mean like the ensemble numbers. I don't know.
I'll have to take a look and listen to it again. But it's interesting because one of my favorite shows ever is a product of what you're saying, Noah, is Blood Brothers.
Oh.
I don't know that one.
Look it up. It's the music's beautiful, but it's about two brothers that are separated at birth. But the whole thing is set in Manchester?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it's Manchester. Don't quote me. I forgot.
Manchester,
but it's my favorite show. But it's the... A lot of the someone's gonna correct me on this, but the comedy is very British. It's very British, and you have to understand it. But it lasted for a year and a half on Broadway. But I think it's because Helen Reddy was in it, and Petula Clark, and the twins, David Cassidy.
Well, that's one of the things I like about Cats is how Britishy it is. And how whimsical and kind of esoterically nonsensical it is, but it's quaint about it.
It's acceptable, right? Because it's like British poems. Like,
I think Bad Cinderella tries to be super Britishy and also contemporary.
But she's also not like that. She doesn't have a British accent in the the promo. So they're trying to make her, have.
Well, I mean, I've only heard the British recording.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Hopefully, it'll be better than Camila Cabello's Cinderella. Because that one was, that was royal shit.
Can we pick another princess? I just right,
I know. Can we, let's do Snow White.
Yeah, why not? Like, like Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah,
oh, bitch Snow White.
Right. Yeah, well, bitch Snow White.
Bitch Snow White.
I'm not just Snow White. I'm bitch Snow White.
Like, I think this could have worked in like 2006 in like the millennial bad girl era, where I think people are just going to roll their eyes at it now.
Mm. We'll see. We'll see.
I mean, Weber's had some flops before too, so.
Yeah.
It's okay.
He hits really high highs and really low lows.
Yeah. Just go really
revive
dark.
Starlight Express. Yeah. Bring back Starlight Express.
Yes, definitely. That's what we need. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last year I was almost in a Zoom musical of Cats.
Oh, how fun.
But it was through like this Facebook group where it was like all these people who were like fans of Cats around the world. It was this guy who was trying to organize it, but he was like a 14-year-old boy. And so he like didn't really know what he was doing. Like, I was someone who had been producing Zoom musicals for the past year. So I like tried to help him out and organizing everything. We got all these people together on Facebook. We had to coordinate all these different time zones. There were people on the East Coast, West Coast, in the UK, et cetera. And we found this the right day to do it. And like literally we had cast it. I think I was going to be Skimble Shanks. My sister was going to be Jenny Anydots. It was going to be great. And on the day that we were supposed to do it, this guy, Andy, who was organizing it initially, but it was mostly me at that point, he messaged the group and he said, "Hey guys, sorry. I'm canceling this production, this Cats today because it's raining and I have to do my tumbling. And I can't do my tumbling if it's raining." And so, and he was going to play like Car Buckety or something like some dancing cat that doesn't even sing.
Pounceable.
And so, yeah. Yeah. And so we had to like cancel this and it never even ended up happening. Aww. But he messaged the same Facebook group last week saying, "Hey, hi again, guys. I'm now organizing a Zoom reading of Starlight Express."
Oh, no.
and nobody responded.
Oh, yeah. Because, oh, like, come on. Bad. He's going to cancel last minute because he needs to do his skating and it's outside.
Right. Yeah.
And it's raining.
Because, of course, Starlight Express is another show that works great for everybody sitting in a chair on their own computer screen.
You know, you could sit on a rolling chair and just, like, roll around.
Rolling stock.
Yes.
Rolling stock.
That's right.
Yes, rolling stock. We're rolling stock. I've never seen that show. Really. I want to see it so bad. I wish it would go on tour or something, but I don't think it'll ever be relevant.
Don't you need to go to
America
Germany
again.
Or something? Like, isn't it open in
it's
Germany?
It's still in Germany. Yeah. It's been going
go
for
Germany.
Over 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge in Germany, but it's in German. I want to see
that's
it in
okay.
English.
You know all the words.
It was my second Broadway show, I think, that I saw.
You saw it?
Oh, yeah. Because I was in New York. Well, I moved to New York when I was 17. And during that time, again, back to Andy Zerman. Andy Zerman, when I first got there, I said, "Hey, I'm here. Do you remember me?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to put you in for Starlight Express." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And you had to bring your own roller skates at the time. So getting off the plane with my roller skates, 17 years old in New York City, got cut. But friends of a friend's were in it from the Bay Area. So they got me a ticket and it was so cool. On Broadway, it was different than London.
Yeah.
London, they go all around the theater.
Yeah, that's yeah.
But but in Broadway, it was just layer after layer after layer after layer and just such a spectacle in front of you. It was really cool.
Would sometimes the skates like make more noise than like their voices on stage? That's what I'm like assuming. Like you have them like zipping around and then they're like freight is great. And you're like, I don't know. That's what I'm assuming.
That'd be funny.
I'm so jealous. I love that show.
It's a great show.
All right. Well, let's get to our Theater World Lightning Round.
Okay.
These are some quick fire questions, or we just want your opinion on your taste. We're doing it. All right, Jim. Who is your favorite Broadway diva?
Orfei.
Ooh, Orfei. Yes.
Interesting.
Are you
friends
with Orfei?
A little Legally Blonde.
Okay. That's, I was like, hang on a second. I think you guys are friends.
Yeah, we are. but that was the first thing that came off the top of my head. But you know, Patti LuPone, come on.
Of course.
You know,
she's everyone's favorite
she's
too.
Guided us through life. The women or men? Is it just
anyone?
Women?
Yeah. Diva, okay. Divo.
Devo? Well, you know, there's a lot, but those, yeah. Patti LuPone, you know, Raul Esparza took us to a different level with Company, you know?
Yeah. He's amazing leading man.
He is amazing leading man to watch. He came to see Footloose. He was kind of cool. Norm Lewis, Lewis, what a power he has, you know? Even Leo Norbert Butts, you know, his yeah. quirkiness, but he's got a great voice and he's got a presence to him. And there we go.
Yeah.
I feel like I've always identified with Norbert Leo Butts. I feel like I want to do all of the same roles.
You could. You could play his entire track.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've even done a couple of them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I did Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
That's right. I saw that too.
The detective in Catch Me If You Can.
Oh yes. Even though I don't love Catch Me If You Can.
It was fun to see.
Yeah, exactly. And Aaron Tveit is amazing.
I don't listen to it. I think half the songs are good.
Big Fish. That's some good music. Good
yeah. There
yes.
you go.
I've only seen a crappy high school production, but yes. All right. Next question. Jin, what is your ultimate dream role? Yeah.
Well, now it's changed.
Yeah.
My first one was Kimbleshanks.
It's mine.
I know, but I didn't get Kimbleshanks. I got Monkestrap. But right. What I say to that question is it hasn't been written yet.
Ooh, wow. Are you writing a musical?
No. Someone is,
and it's for you. That's right. Angela Weber wrote a part just perfect for you in Bad Cinderella. So get in over there.
You never know. I mean, like, there's so many things that are being written now and created. And that's one of the things I want to do is I want to create more. I love the process. Like when I did People in the Picture down. Did you see that, Sandra?
I was going to, and then I think I missed a week or something. Timing was bad.
Well, it was a Broadway show with Donna Murphy, but it didn't go anywhere. It was only there for maybe 6 weeks or something, like maybe 2 months. But we recreated it, and the writers came in. They gave us different scenes. They gave us like different songs, and that's the process that I like, is the creative part of it. Back when I was younger, I always wanted to play Chris and Angelos. You know, those kind of things. Yeah. But now, I don't know. Nothing. It hasn't been written yet.
You could do Jean Valjean and Javert now.
That's what Pierce and I have been wanting to do.
Let's do it.
Find a place that we could do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it'll happen soon.
You never know.
You should do the Hugh Jackman version and just belt it all.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you're on the
I hear my prayer.
Yeah, you're like, it's a silent song and everyone's trying to sleep. Why are you belting?
That was one of my first songs that I sang in auditions when I was 17 in New York.
Aww.
They were like, aw, isn't that cute?
Good boy, baby.
Little boys. Because it's all about the lightheartedness. It's a prayer. So
it is.
Yeah.
You mean so many different things.
Yes.
I hate Hugh Jackman's singing voice.
Aw. Well, I mean,
if anyone's great, it's Hugh Music Man.
76 trombones play the big parade.
I loved him in Oklahoma, though. Like, Oklahoma was good.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
Anyway.
rant over. Okay, Xander, go ahead.
Jim, what song or moment or show always makes you cry?
Oh, Fontaine, I Dreamed a Dream. Every single time. The first time I saw it, this is very light of me, but when the first time I saw Les Mis in New York at the Broadway Theater, I was up on the balcony because I couldn't afford anything else. Mm-hmm. And when the person who did that just sang, I forgot who it was. I can't remember, and I'm not going to say who it was. It wasn't Randy Graff. But the way that she just brought me in and I just started bawling, you know, when she gave up that, like, the moment, the end. And I was like, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I'm good. Someday I'll be right where you are.
You're going to be playing Fontaine.
Exactly. Right, while I was watching that, I said, I'm going to be up there. Mm-hmm. But you know what other song? gets me is Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again.
Oh, yeah.
If that it's done so right, sad. If it's done right, it will take you on a journey.
Yeah.
I just think that's one of Andrew Lloyd Webber's best melodies.
I do too. I do too.
It could be stolen too. We're not sure, you know, like all those other songs that he has, like, da-na-na-na, that's like some other rock song and, right, and all the songs are kind of like
listed. But he steals from himself.
Mm-hmm. He also does that, you know, the Bad Cinderella. I noticed they had that where she goes, ah, da, da, da. And I was like, that's from like, I Knew Before, you know? So like he does lift his own songs as well.
Yeah, and Bring Him Home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just to finish off this.
Beautiful.
That moment, gorgeous moment.
Yeah, that, there's like 17 great cry moments.
So all of Les Mis, you're just crying. Right,
the
entire time.
The ending especially.
Yeah.
And then when the amazing, whoever did the orchestration, but whenever do you hear the people mm-hmm. sing, it's just mm-hmm.
when it comes back in. Like, all the ghosts. I always get really big chills whenever at the big crescendo of to love another person is to see the face of God. Yeah.
Yes, yes, chill. Just kind of chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is magical.
And finally, Jim, yes. Our final most important question of the day is, can you recall the single greatest experience you've ever had at the theater?
As an actor, or just
this could be on whatever. Stage in the audience.
Whatever first came to your mind.
As a director or choreographer, and any
or just sitting in a show,
the pinnacle of it all.
Yeah.
Well, I do. It's interesting to say, but I was completely overwhelmed sitting on the stage of La Scala Opera House after we just finished West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
Our cast was so close because they literally took us from New York and from England and from Spain and just brought us up on stage or brought us to Slovenia to learn West Side Story. And we were there in this bubble, but we just became a family, a real true family. Mm-hmm. But when the show closed, the curtain went up and the audience was gone. And we were sitting on, I mean, literally the cast just came out one by one and just sat down on the stage and just started crying.
Wow.
It was that kind of overwhelming. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a show too. That was the first time I ever did West Side Story. And I know it's a kind of show that sticks with everybody.
Yeah.
But it was that's one of my pinnacle moments of my life. It just was overwhelming. I remember the first time I sang Tragedy. In Saturday Night Fever. Mm. I went on before we closed on Broadway and at the Minskoff. And I was so nervous. But Janine Myers, who's one of my really good friends, she was Stephanie. She leaves me on stage and I go, thank you, Stephanie. And then I hear the dun, 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 dun. And I just went, oh. And it was just like, the sound surrounded me and the lights changed and it just became, I like was transferred into a different world. It was just like, wow, very interesting feeling.
That's cool. I feel like a little passenger.
Yeah. Yeah. I just was, wow. And then the audience was there and it's, and I was singing the song all by myself with mirrors mm-hmm. flying in the back.
Because that's the ultimate goal of being an actor is to have that kind of out-of-body experience where you forget where you are and you're 100% present to the point where mm-hmm. you're just in it.
And you're that person and you're experiencing this moment just, you know, with the feelings and all the overwhelming experience of that moment. That's how it felt. It was just like, wow, you know, not to get so surreal, but it was very, very, you know, took me to a different place. Meta. Yeah. I'm trying to think of as an audience member. I mean, so many times that I just was overwhelmed and blown away by performances or by the experience of it all. I like to see my friends up there. That's
special in a different way.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
well,
man. This
thank
is
you so much,
fun.
Jim, for coming on. This was
this
a blast talking to you and reconnecting.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Noah.
Yes, of course. What are you working on right now? Is there anything you want to plug or point us to? Anything that you're working on or got going in the pipeline?
Well, we start Sunday in the Park with George down at San Jose Playhouse. on October 24th, and we open October 11th, I think, or 19th, and then we go through December 11th. And it's one of my favorite shows. I've never been able to do it, so it's going to be a great opportunity. It's going to be fun. Yeah. Great voices, great acting. It's going to just be a really cool experience.
Nice. I mean, this is the year of Sondheim revivals.
Yeah, it really is.
Yes.
Across the country.
You got it. Yeah. You can't just like make it pass. You have to do it.
Mm-mm. Yeah. It's great. It's challenge for any level.
That's one of the most difficult shows in his catalog too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely put the information in the show description and point people towards there. But thank you so much, Jim, again.
Thank you,
it was so wonderful reconnecting with you.
Thank you, guys. It's so great to see you. And I'm so glad that you're doing this. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, we love this. This is our way of, you know, reconnecting with all our buddies across the world of theater.
Yeah,
the theater
that's right.
And tell your friend Orfe to listen to our podcast. You know, I didn't give her a shout out.
I did. That was the first one and it wasn't even thinking.
She did an amazing job in Legally Blonde. I mean, like, that is iconic.
If you ever get a chance to see her and Andy's cabaret, it's really amazing. It's really pretty cool.
Nice.
So, another plug.
Yes. Well, all right. Well, we will see you next time on the Theater World podcast. Xandra, you good? You got anything else?
I think we're great.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Tap my hat to both of you.
I will tip my hat back at you, and we'll see you next time on the Theater World podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you later.